Welcome, everybody, to Red's Ramblings. I have with me today Cecile from originally, that's how you pronounce your name, right? Cecile?
Yes.
Okay. Originally from over in France, currently living up north from me in Canada right now in Quebec. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
So you were originally from France, and we spoke a little bit before. You're from the Brittany region, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So go ahead, give everybody a quick little thing of what you do, all that kind of good stuff.
Okay. So yes, I'm Cecile. I'm a French woman living in Montreal. So it's basically the French region of Canada. But I didn't choose to come here just because everybody speaks French.
Yes.
It's a pretty cool place to live, being there for 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And I spent 20 plus years living in Brittany with my parents, because even when I was going to university, I was living with them. Mm-hmm. Now I just love to go back there for holidays.
Yeah.
Because when I left, I was just bored being there. Mm-hmm. But now when I go back to France and
Britain,
it's like, oh my God, this is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, something about childhood memory just kind of brings everything back, nostalgia trip and everything. Yeah.
It definitely. So yes, I do work here in Montreal. I have my life here. I have my boyfriend here. So I'm not going back anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just enjoy going back once a year, at least to see the family and just enjoy some me time in the places that bring me memories.
Yes.
You know, all
this. Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
So you said you didn't move there to Quebec because of the French speaking. So why did you choose Quebec?
Well, it's I didn't really choose, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was before to come here, I spent 3 years in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay.
I was working there. Before that, in university, I did a few semesters abroad, like one in Liverpool in the UK.
Okay, yeah.
And one in Vigo in Spain.
Okay.
And so that just gave me the desire to move more and just go explore.
Yes.
But I also love to spend some time in a different country. Mm-hmm. So I just knew I didn't want to stay in France. Mm-hmm. So when I resigned from my job in Ireland, I was working in a call center. So very basic job there.
Yeah.
I left everything. I said, okay, I want to go to the US. And so I took my passport and moved to California, to Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I spent 4 months there trying to look for a job and a visa, but it didn't happen. Mm. So I went back to my parents in France, square one in my teenager's room, and not knowing what to do with my life. It was 7 years ago. And I said, okay, I'm just going to look for a job in North America. I don't know where, but North America. And while doing my search, just a job popped and I was reading at everything. And I said, okay, I can do that. Mm-hmm. So I just applied and I applied for the visa and I got the job. And so I came to Montreal. At first it was only for a year. Mm-hmm. It's been 6 years now. I feel pretty good here, so that's why I'm staying.
That's good. That's cool. Yeah. That's always a good thing to know then. So what was it you
said
you tried to move to the States?
Yeah.
Right? Well, if you don't mind me asking, what was the opportunity you were looking for over there in California?
When I was in that call center in Dublin, I came to a point where I was just dissatisfied with my life. And I asked myself one question. What is one dream that you still have from when you were a kid and a dream that you could, you know, bring to life.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to mind was, I want to go to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Didn't know a thing about the city. Didn't know, you know, I just was a fan of the series and films and movies.
Okay.
And I, you know, so
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought it must be cool there. So I went there and just thinking, I'm just going to go and I'm going to look for a job there. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens. And I had a very, very good time. At first, when the plane was landing, I was just, what the hell am I doing here? Go back.
Yes.
But after 24 hours there, I just felt like, yeah, that was the destination. Mm-hmm. But after a few months, couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to the US, when you are a European, it's mm-hmm. like I did a lot of networking events and stuff like this. And they're just like, oh, I love your profile, et cetera, et cetera. Let me give you a call.
Yeah.
Then they never call you back.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's, if you want a visa, you need a job offer. But mm-hmm. if you want that job offer, they want a visa. So it's just like,
yeah,
what yeah. do we do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I went back and but I had a great time there.
Did you visit any other states or you just stayed in California while you were here?
I stayed mainly in Los Angeles because I wasn't driving.
Yeah.
But I just discovered the city just walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to neighborhoods that you don't want to see women there at certain hours, but I didn't mm-hmm. know that. I just went there and I discovered a lot. I mean, I discovered the city just taking the bus and walking and that's it. And it's a pretty big city, so I never got bored, really.
Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been over there either, but I can imagine there's so much to do. You take a turn anywhere, you're going to find something new that you haven't seen, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I really loved, you know, Santa Monica, Venice Beach, but didn't get the opportunity to go. Well, I went to Vegas.
Yeah.
With people I met in the city. But yeah, no, didn't get a chance to go to San Francisco or I wanted to though, but one day. Next time.
One day. Exactly. Yeah. We're still alive. We're still kicking. Mm-hmm. There's no reason you can't do it now. I like, though, the question you said you asked. You're like, what's one childhood dream that's still something you can do? Because I'm sure if I ask my kid right now, hey, what do you want to be? He's like, Batman or dinosaur, you know? So I was like, all right, buddy. We need something more realistic. I want to be Batman. And I'm like, I know you do, but that's not possible. So, yeah, making sure it's something that can be realistically done. I like the way you did that right there.
Yeah.
You said you went to Liverpool for a while as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like it there? Because I want to say my third episode was with two brothers from Liverpool, and I learned a lot about that area that I didn't know about as well.
I fell in love with with the city, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The people there, well, the people, they were really hard to understand at first for me.
Yeah.
The accent, like, was a nightmare for me at first. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was doing this program, this European program called Erasmus.
Okay.
So it's like you're in your university and you're just doing one semester abroad. Mm-hmm. So when you apply for that program, you select a few university where you want to go, and then they tell you which one they gave you. Mm-hmm. I never asked for Liverpool. I asked for London and Southampton, I guess. What? Mm-hmm. And they just told me, you're going to Liverpool. I said, okay, yeah, why not? I'm going anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I celebrated my 20th birthday there, and it was a blast. But you know, the conditioning when you are an Erasmus student, it's like you create a community with the other Erasmus student.
Yeah.
So I may be biased by my experience, you know, because to me, the community was also what impacted my experience mm-hmm. in Liverpool and why I did love the city so much. Mm-hmm. But I went back there 3 years after, and the city had really changed.
Really?
It had really evolved, because mm-hmm. I guess it was in 2008, I guess, capital of, I don't know, well, something. Yeah. And then so a lot of people came, and the city got that huge economical boost. Mm-hmm. So they made a lot of changes. And was like, wow, the city was even better after.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you got this huge mall, outside mall, that was so mm-hmm. beautifully designed, that didn't even exist before. Mm-hmm. And even the areas where I felt were like poorer, mm-hmm. they were, you know, getting better.
Yeah.
And the spirit of the Beatles is everywhere.
Right. Yes. that's one thing I remember talking with the guys, John and Matthew over there, and, you know, Beatles. So you can't have a conversation with people from Liverpool without bringing them up. Obviously, that's kind of like a disservice to their city if you don't bring up the Beatles. So we did that, but yeah, even they talked about it. Cause I think they were born and raised over there. How it has that small hometowny feel. But yeah, I think Matthew was the one that mentioned how it has grown a lot here in recent years, but you still have those little pockets every now and then. Mm-hmm. You got the small hometowny feel. He said, if I remember correctly, one of the things that they love the most about Liverpool is, even though it's grown and changed over the years, how a lot of the mentality is still the same, how it's like a dark humor with the locals, right? Like, they'll crack jokes to everybody. Like, if you're walking down the street, they'll ask you something. And like, if it was like me or you, you know, not from there, we would be like, what are you talking about? You know, but for them, it's a joke. Like, they know what they're saying, and it's never out of harm. It's never like hurt your feelings or hurt. It's just, it's funny for them. You know, it's humor, and it's, he said that's one of the best things that he's loved about it, seeing it from when he was younger to how he is now, is how that sort of humor has stuck even with all the other cultural changes going around there. And that's something I've always loved. Yeah, like, even as things change and evolve in your town, if you stay there for a few years, it's always nice to have those sort of pockets and communities that stick to the old ways and don't like totally give in to whatever news coming around.
Yeah, it makes you feel at home still.
Exactly. It's like cornbread. I don't do like the cake cornbread. I want my grandma's cornbread, which was flat and crispy, you know, saying I want Meemaw's cornbread. I don't want that cakey stuff. You know, I want what makes me feel like I was, you know, 6 or 7 again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you go back to France, you said, during the holidays and whatever. What are some of the things that, since you've been out and been living in Canada, that when you go back has changed, and kind of like Liverpool for you, you say it's changed for the better?
You know, the funny thing is that every time I go back to, most of all, the town where I was raised, I have this thought always. It's like, oh, it's like I left yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the things, well, they get new roundabouts, because I don't know, they're crazy about roundabouts. They are everywhere. It's a nightmare.
We're getting them a lot here now too. Yeah.
So that doesn't change for the better. Of course, but no, I have always this feeling that, oh, the city is the same. Mm-hmm. And what I see changing is more about where you can go shopping. Like, yeah, stores, they're just getting everywhere.
Yeah.
And even the residential areas, mm-hmm, where where there used to be just grass and maybe a little forest. Now it's just a residential area. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe it's good because it means that, you know, people are liking it there.
Yeah.
But to me, well.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
See, it's just like, yeah, you're ruining my landscape, even if I'm not living there.
Yeah, yeah. That was actually hitting me when I was looking up a lot of things for over there in Brittany. Like we mentioned the stones and a lot of the ancient history and whatnot. Is I'm reading this stuff, and I think the Karnak stones was one. I'll pull that up here. It was, let's see, where did I have that one? For those that are watching, I need this thing to go away though. Oh well, all right. So we got the Karnak stones, right? And I cannot type and talk at the same time. So, but like So I'm looking at this stuff and I was like, that's huge, right? That's a huge area right there. And I'm looking into it and it's like, they're like 5,000 years old. They've been there roughly 5,000 years. And that's what I'm thinking. Like even us, like we're looking at it now and we're like, whoa, that's awesome. That's cool. What were they for? You know, why did they build these, this, that, and the other? But back, I'm going to assume back then when, you know, you had kingdoms at war with each other and all the battles that were happening back in the day, I just feel like there wasn't that necessarily that feeling of, ooh, we should keep this, you know? It was more like, I'm taking over your land now. I'm going to do what I want with it. Get rid of all this crap. Because we've seen it done before, you know, in history back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, an empire invades the next country and they just destroy everything that country had for their own stuff, right? So I'm looking at these Karnak stones and I'm just like, why those? You know, why are those still there? Because they are just, for me, for a part of me is like, okay, they are just stones. And then people look into why they're there. Because it is amazing that you have these huge 1,000-pound stones, 1,000-ton stones, you know, perfectly placed in lines. And they go from like real tall to like, I think the smallest one's like 2 feet tall. What kept everyone for the last 5,000 years from keeping them there and not moving them? Because you just said, even here we have a lot of what used to be grassy areas that are now like residentials and hotels and fast food restaurants, all this type of stuff. And I was like, can't we just have things the way they were? Like, just keep them, you know, at that. Why you gotta always take away everything, you know? But it is cool when you look back at some of that stuff and you see that even, I'm assuming the people about 5,000 years ago, just they decided, oh, we're not going to mess with that. You know, whether it be probably because those stones are so big, you know, how exactly could you do something heavy to it, right? Yeah. but that's just something that I totally get what you're saying, because that's happening here on the States. But I'm assuming definitely over there in France and just in Europe, or, you know, the Eastern countries in general, it's probably hurts a lot more to the people who like history and like that kind of stuff. Because like here in the States, you know, our country's been around for a few hundred years.
Yeah, you're a baby country. Yeah.
Exactly. Like for America, we haven't been here that long. Over there, you guys have been there for thousands of years, in one form or another. You know, you guys have been there for thousands of years. So you have so much stuff and ancient history that everyone, I would hope, is kept safe, you know, for the future generations and whatnot. Because I was looking into like Dolmen. Have you heard about the Dolmen stones?
Yeah.
Like, that stuff was cool. I know, you know, in history class, reading about Stonehenge and all that stuff. I didn't know about the Karnak stones till today, looking into stuff about Brittany. And then there's like other terms for it. And Dolmen popped up. So I'm pulling up Dolmen. I'll do that here in a second too. And I'm pulling up Dolmen. And It's like houses. It's like what I'm thinking of, you know, the Flintstones house. You know, it's like, that's you can't tell me that's not a Flintstone house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I can't. But these are huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many of them over there. And it's like, yeah, how was that done? And you know, I'm sure there's plenty of speculation of how they did it and why and whatnot. So I'm not even beginning to get into that. Yes.
Still today, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
You get all these version of, yeah, you know, they were doing this for that or for that and for that, but you never get the same story.
Yeah.
So nobody knows.
I mean, but look at that.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That is.
It is.
Like, obviously, I'm looking at it from a statesman, so we don't have anything like that in the States. But that is just some of the coolest stuff I'm looking at. And Dolmen, what was it? It stands for like stone house or stone man. The dolmen is actually two. Dole stands for something. What was that? Pull this over here. Oh, almost threw you away. Let's see.
I don't have the translation in English for all these terms. Well, dolmen, yes, it's the same, but for the others.
Speaking of, though, I do want to ask, do you know, because obviously you know French, I'm assuming, right? There's also the language of Britain, Breton.
Yes.
Is that a language you know as well?
No, I don't know that language. Mm-hmm. The thing is, my grandparents, they didn't really use that language, just a few words.
Yeah.
So I remember a few words, a few expressions from my grandparents. But I remember when I was a kid, when I went to my my grandmother's house, she used to have a friend. She couldn't speak French. Mm-hmm. She was only talking that other language. So to me at the time, it was normal because it was there was a mix of people talking in French and people talking in Britain, and that was normal. But the language was like getting, you know, extinguished.
Yes.
But until recently, because the generation of my parents, they just don't speak a word. Mm-hmm. Usually some of them do because they're passionate about it.
Yes.
They're passionate about the culture, etc. Well, you know. But until recently, they created bilingual schools where kids can, you know, they learn what all the kids learn, but in French and in Britain.
Yeah.
So they can keep the language alive. And I find this amazing.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
It is really amazing. So yes, there is this desire to keep the language alive and to keep the traditions alive. Because yes, you have to know that in Brittany we have a very, very strong regional belonging, and we also have our flag. And you cannot go to a concert or a soccer match or you cannot go to a public event without seeing that flag.
Yes.
And it's like even here, you know, I met a lot of people from, you know, all around the world, and even a lot of French people that are not from Brittany. And they're just like, what's with your damn flag? And I'm, yeah. And even here, you got a concert, there is one flag. There you can also find on YouTube videos, or there is a group of Facebook. It's like this flag all around the world, and people are posting their picture of them with their flag all around the world. But yeah, the story of the flag is... it's pretty recent, and actually the guy who created that flag was, and I don't know if the word is correct in English, independentist? Well,
okay.
The guy who wanted the region to be independent from the country.
Yes, yes, I read about that, yeah.
And so that flag was created back in the 1920s, and it was inspired by the American flag.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah. They just took the American flag and they made it.
Yeah.
They made it for Brittany.
I mean, that's, do you know what these, the little, in places of the stars, what those are for? What those are symbols? Yeah,
well, these actually were the symbols of the Duchess of Brittany, Duchess Anne. Mm-hmm. Back in the time during, they were the symbol of the, of her, you know, she was the Duchess of Brittany. So, mm-hmm. She was like the Queen of Brittany, mm-hmm. and these were her royal symbols. And that's why they are on that flag. And yeah, but the story of Brittany, there are so many stuff like historical and geographical, like economical, because the region, well, the place where the Duchess was living now is not part of Brittany anymore economically, mm-hmm. because after the war, they just they just changed it all. Mm-hmm. And so there is this huge dilemma, this huge subject about, is this part of Brittany or not? And there are people saying, yes, it is, and others, no. And there is this war between, and it's pretty funny because at first I was like, yeah, it's not in Brittany. See, it's on the map. You can see it's not in Brittany. But I met people living there, speaking like and knowing more about Brittany than I do. And I'm just like, maybe you are part of it.
Maybe little asterisk next to that, I guess. I did read about how Brittany back in the day was like strongly independent, like, yeah, okay, we'll be part of France, but we're gonna kind of do our own thing over here. And so they have that flag, and that's one of the reasons why they've attempted, you know, to keep the Breton language going strong. I like how you said they've recently started implementing, you know, teaching that into the schools as well. Yeah. Because me growing up, I live here in the South, in the States, in South Carolina specifically, and we had second languages in high school. That's the only time we had it, and it was Spanish and actually French. My older brother, he took French. He probably is still at this point fluent in it. I didn't take any. I took welding. I took an extracurricular class, so I didn't have to take a second language. I regret that. I'm not gonna say I regret it, but I regret that I still to this day have not learned another language, because I definitely want to do it.
But you are lucky because your mother tongue is like, mm-hmm. one of the most spoken languages.
So yes, yeah, that's
really have a problem.
And it has helped in what I do here, you know, with speaking to people from all over the country, because at least in every country there's at least one person, I'm assuming, who knows English.
Yeah.
Knows English fairly well to where I can kind of communicate with them. So that has helped in my podcast 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, like, I had my latest one was with a lady from the Netherlands. And she was telling me how up there, they are doing more languages in schools these days as well, to where, mm-hmm. kids come out graduating knowing five languages altogether.
Well, that's crazy. Like,
that is awesome.
Yeah,
that is amazing right there. I don't even know, you know, two. I barely know the one I have. You know, but that's why I want to know Spanish, Russian, Mandarin, Japanese, and German. I'd love to know those five.
It's not too late.
It's not. You're right. I'm still going. I can do this.
Yes.
My wife knows Spanish, so I should be able to pick that up pretty easily with her help. And yeah, like, especially if I'm going to eventually like travel to these places I'm talking to, mm-hmm. I need to know a little bit of something. So
yeah, you can begin today. You can begin
today. I can. Will I? Don't know. But I can. The opportunity is there, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking a little bit before we got on about the Celtic history is pretty rich in Britain, in Brittany. Can you speak a little bit about that more?
Well, I'm not really into history that much, I have to be honest. But I was bathing in that when I was a kid.
Yes.
Even there is this festival that happens every year, and in English it must be called the Inter-Celtic Festival, something like this. So every summer, in the city where my grandparents used to live, and I was going there with my parents every year. Mm-hmm. It was a tradition for us, and in this festival, there are music groups from all the Celtic countries, so who represent the Celtic culture. Mm-hmm. So there is Australia, because there is Celtic culture over there, Scotland, Wales, Spain, Canada, and they all come with, you know, you will see the pipe bands.
Yes.
You will see the bagats. The bagats, they are traditional music groups from Brittany. Mm-hmm. And like every city has their bagat. And yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, not every city, but every bigger city has.
Yes, yeah.
And that's that festival. And to me, that festival, because I was going there every year with my parents.
Yeah. There we go.
It really made me, you know, belong to that culture, because I was like, it was part of my childhood. It was part of who I was. And seeing all these people coming together just to share the costumes, because all the countries there, they come with the traditional costumes, with the traditional instruments. There is this huge parade on a Sunday.
Yeah.
That I think that's the picture is about, actually, the parade, the big parade. There are concerts. Mm-hmm. People are dancing. There is all kind of music, like traditional, but also rock. Also, you know, and you see how it evolves, because it used to be, there is traditional music, and every town has, or every region has, their traditional costume. Mm-hmm. But now you see how the music is evolving, and how you can find, you know, groups doing rock.
Yeah.
And they were creating like 10 years ago. But you can still you can still find that you know that sound
flavor.
That you know,
yes.
Yeah, the flavor.
Oh yes, I know.
And I am a huge fan of the bagad, you know, the traditional group that I'm telling you about from my city.
Okay.
And funny enough, they were in Montreal like 5 years ago, because they won that huge TV. They won. France Got Talent.
Really?
Like six years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can a traditional group from my region win this, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because these guys, they are not making the tradition. Yes, they have all these, the instruments and stuff, but their music, it has the flavor, but it's more like the music from a movie. They're making it evolve. And well, the traditionalists, they don't like it, but I'm just like, yeah, but you want to evolve. The kids today, like the children today, they want to hear something that makes them, you know, think they belong, just like I did when I was a kid.
Yes. With these guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's them.
How do you pronounce that, if you don't mind?
Oh, so Bagad, that's the name. Mm-hmm. And so that's Bagan de Van. Van is the city. That's my city.
Okay.
And their name is Mélinérion. Mélinérion.
Okay.
And if your ears are not used to that kind of music, it can sound pretty noisy. But
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Looks like it, yes, yeah, it's a pretty decent group with a whole bunch of instruments. So, yeah, I'm sure there's. It's like a mini orchestra, kind of looks like.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's the stuff I do. That's the stuff I like. So, I'm all for that. I would play it, but I get kicked off of YouTube if I do that. So, after we get done here, I'll definitely pull them up and listen to them a little bit.
Yes, you can. It was crazy. I wouldn't think they would win.
Yeah,
they did.
I like how you said, yes, that though. Even with today, you have, you know, a lot of different musical genres coming in that still have that local flavor, that old school sounds and whatnot, with the rock bands and who, you know, all the other genres as well. Because I know, like, you know, we have the whole world's kind of crazy right now with everything that's going on, right? And here in the States, when we kind of sort of shut down, not really. When we had our thing happen, I was off work for like 2 weeks. And what I ended up doing, because I like rock music, I like heavy metal, I even like rap. What I ended up doing is I went on a little... what do you call it? Well, what will I call it? Like a little hunt, a treasure hunt, I'll call it. I'm going to call it a treasure hunt, where I would specifically look up other countries that necessarily didn't have English as their main language and try to find bands, like rock bands, from that area. So I looked up bands from India, Japan, New Zealand, Africa,
cool. All
that, right? And when I would, you know, sift through the ones that I liked, and yeah, like when you would listen to them, you get that, okay, yeah, I can tell that's rock, but then they have that little bit of hometown flavor, like the Indian ones I listened to, Bloody Wood was one of them. I can't even remember the instruments, but like if you watch anything Bollywood, they have that similar sound to them, to where, yes, if it was a play, like in the room next to you, you'd be like, ah, that sounds like something from India, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even with that, like it was a meld of what we consider rock here in the States and that cultural flavor from over there. And that's some of the coolest stuff. Like even with the Ninjin Isu from Japan, they have a Japanese sound to them. Don't know how to describe it, but if you were to play it, it'd be like, yeah, that sounds like it's from Japan, yeah, right? You just kind of know it's from somewhere else, not where you're from. So yeah, I love that. That's some cool stuff, and I'm definitely gonna look into these guys, definitely.
Yeah, and I will send you if I find a few interesting songs. From rock bands from Brittany.
Yes, yes, do it.
Yeah,
do it. I am all for that, 100%. Yes,
it will be very interesting.
One of the things I also looked into from the history of the Celts back there, over there in Brittany, is a lot of them, at some point, you know, y'all came from, I can't even remember the region, way back in the day, but over in Cornwall in the UK, there's a heavy, heavy Celtic history as well. And John, one of the guys I spoke to from Liverpool, put me on to a guy over there in Cornwall, him and his brother, Casey and Huey. And in looking up that, learned about their whole Celtic history as well. And Cornwall, if you didn't know, it is where they believe King Arthur and Merlin were from way back in the day. See? So if you didn't know anything about Cornwall, you kind of did. You know, because everyone at some point has heard King Arthur, Round Table, Merlin, right? So if you've never heard about Cornwall in the UK until today, you've known about them your whole life, more likely, right? So that was cool. But they have a rich Celtic history, and kind of like Brittany is keeping the tradition of the language Breton alive, they had the same thing. They've been dealing with the same thing over in Cornwall, where... yeah, they're part of the UK, but they're like, we're going to kind of do our own thing regardless, right? So you guys have probably at some point, y'all came from some similar area. Probably got a lot of ancestors linked together.
Yeah, because I feel that from what I know, so I'm not the expert here, so yes. Don't take my word for
me either
for a truth. From what I know is that cats were like moving at some point, like
yes.
going there and then going back, and then mm-hmm. so we may come from everywhere yeah. and nowhere at the same time, you know?
Right? Yeah. Oh yeah.
But in 100%. Brittany. We do have Merlin's forest.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I did not look at you. You're pulling up something history I didn't know.
It's called Brocéliande.
All right. Oh, ooh, that is cool looking. I'm going to pull that up real quick.
It's like the forest of legends.
Yes.
No, cool. Type. Yes, mm-hmm. Brocéliande, you see, on Wikipedia it was written. Go down.
Go right down. There?
Yes, boom. This one.
Okay.
And that's the forest. It's, you see, legendary enchanted forest. And
all right.
Yeah. It's a magical forest in Brittany.
Nice. That is so cool.
Yes. And yes, so that's why I said it's Merlin's forest, because it's all about King Arthur,
yeah,
Merlin, and all the legends around it.
Oh yeah, that looks like some old stuff. Oh whoa,
so yeah.
That is cool. That mm-hmm. is really cool. All so right.
If Cornwall can
yes.
beat us with a forest like this, you tell me.
Well, all right. So you guys have Merlin's forest. They do yeah. have Merlin's cave.
Uh-huh. And okay. So, interesting.
Yeah. They maybe, do have that.
Well, Merlin was very, it was a magical spirit. So maybe mm-hmm. he could be at two places at the same time. Or maybe
oh, yeah.
he could travel very fast to one from one place to the other.
So yeah, I mean if all that's true, even in the slightest, I mean
yeah.
That is still cool though. That is nice. I like that. Oh, I spoke to Casey before we got started. I was like, when I was looking into the Celtic history of you guys and saw that they had some similarities between you, Brittany, and Cornwall, I was like, yo, I'm going to give you a shout out, Casey, because we're talking about your country now, too, at the same time. And here we are, Merlin's cave, Merlin's forest.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that yeah. for sure.
Merlin is everywhere.
Yeah. So you live now in Montreal, up north from me. What are, because that's in the French-speaking area, correct? So what are some, like, differences that I would guess you imagine would be similar, being how it's more French-speaking, that weren't actually similar?
No, I mean, the culture is very different. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of French people here. Mm-hmm. And some of the Quebecers see French people, they don't like them. I have to be honest.
Like native French people?
Yes, yes.
Really?
Because they just, you know, they have this working holiday visa. Mm-hmm. And they just, we French, we are known for complaining a lot. That's a fact. And even me, you see, I met my boyfriend here, and he's a French from France. Mm-hmm. And we can both agree that when we walk in the city mm-hmm. and when we hear someone, well, we don't have the same accent with the Quebecer.
Okay.
But if we hear someone speaking French and knowing he's from France, mm-hmm. the way he talks, mm-hmm. we know if he's on a working visa or
really?
Living here. Yes.
Okay. How? Like, I gotta ask how. If you could, that sounds like something difficult to explain.
It's complaining. Like, yeah, you know, everything is expensive. I miss this. I miss gotcha. That. I miss the cheese. I miss the blah, blah. And just go back. I mean, go back. There are yes. lots of French people, but you're not in France. So... Mm-hmm. I mean, the city of Montreal We are in North America, but it's very different from, I would say, Vancouver or Toronto, okay. because it's very European. You can feel yes. the European influences mm-hmm. here. And you know that also in Brittany, we eat a lot of crepes.
Yes, yes.
And here in Montreal, there are a few, just even in my street, like I don't know, well, 500 meters away, mm-hmm. there is a place where this guy from Brittany is making crepes, and mm. on the on his store there is the flag from Brittany. So you
oh,
can
that's cool.
Yes, you
that's
can.
That's cool. I like that.
So you can feel like there are a lot yes of French people, but that's the problem with because there are a lot of working holiday visas delivered mm-hmm. to French people. So there are a lot of them. They come here, but they don't stay. So, of course, economically, it's good for mm-hmm. it's good for the city. It's good for the region, but their behavior, they're just yeah. like they know they're not staying, and so they just feel like they own the place when they don't. It's like
yeah.
I am me. I am French. And I am here.
And kind of like a you guys came from us, so we're better than you type vibe.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm sorry to say that, but some of us are very nice and we adjust to the culture, to mm. the country we live in.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, coming from even, I'm telling you, even me and my boyfriend, we can hear some French people talking and mm. we just have to look at each other and we know what the other think of these mm. guys talking there.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of Quebecers, they do like French people too because we are still nice people in the end.
So what are some stuff then that you feel is better over there? Like they brought over, I'm assuming mm-hmm. definitely, so a lot of French traditions and whatnot, but they kind of improved upon them in ways that you actually enjoy more than the original way over there, back in France.
Well, I don't, you know, to me, the only common thing between Quebec and France is the language.
Really? Okay.
Yes, because of course a lot of French people came here and they implemented the language, but the accent is not the same. Mm-hmm. You can feel the American influence, the Canadian mm-hmm. influence. And but you know, these people, the Quebecers, they also are like people from Brittany kind of. Yeah, we mm-hmm. are not Canada, we are Quebec. Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And but you know what I see here is like every time the plane lands here mm-hmm. and I know I'm here and it feels good because people wait to get in the bus. The first who arrive at the bus stop will be the first to get in the bus. Mm-hmm. In France, you will never see that. The first to get in the bus is the first who will manage to get in the bus.
Really?
And, what I see here is more about, you know, the respect of others.
Yeah.
Like, mm. you arrive first, so go in first. They are very polite. They are very welcoming. They are, and I don't feel any stress here.
Mm.
I don't feel the stress that you can find in Paris, for example.
Yeah.
Every time I have a layover in Paris, for example. I can feel the stress. I can feel the energy. I'm a sponge to energies, but there mm. it's just like, I know I'm in Paris. Everything is moving too fast and people are just, they're not happy.
Mm.
They're just running through life. Here, yeah. it's more about taking the time. And you can feel that they take the time to enjoy life. And that's what I like here.
Well, that's good. I mean, from being down here in the States, you know, everyone knows it's worldwide known that Canada is very nice,
yeah.
you know, very respectful people compared to, you know, others. I mean, if your whole country is known for that, there's got to be some truth in it for sure. Mm-hmm. So what are some things, though, about Quebec or Canada in general that you don't particularly care for?
Well,
I don't mean to put you on the spot because you're living there
no,
still.
No. But what I can say, I can say that for now, I don't really care about politics because it's just because I'm going to apply for the Canadian citizenship in maybe next year.
Yeah.
So I will care then.
Yes.
But for now, I'm still, you know, I'm still considered like I have my, you know, Canadian green cards here. So it's like my only step now is to get the Canadian passport. And so maybe that's why I kind of stay away from politics for now, because I'm not involved in it. So,
yeah.
But once I will have that Canadian passport, I will feel very concerned about
it. Yeah.
But, you know, but yeah, everything political, but in general,
That's a sticky thing.
Yes. And I'm non-violent and I don't like to get into, I don't want to get into arguments with people who just don't agree with my ideas. And I feel that in politics, it's really where people really don't accept that you just don't think like them. That's my feeling.
I totally agree with that. I mean, you're our neighbor, so I'm sure you kind of read or hear at least about what's going on down here. So 100% the same thing. And I think definitely, because I'm not even right now, I don't want to get much into it either because, the situation with the virus and everything kind of makes politics even more of like, I don't know. Like, I have my opinions on stuff. I keep them to myself. That's all I'm going to say on that, you know. Totally agree there. So then you're planning on trying to become a Canadian citizen. That's awesome. I hope that works out for you. Would that make you a dual citizen then? Because I'm assuming you're definitely a nationalized citizen for France.
Yeah.
Go back and forth.
It will give me, because you have to know that my dream I wanted to accomplish when I left Ireland, that dream as a kid was that, I don't know why, but when I was a kid, I wanted to have a dual nationality.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I mean, why not? That sounds cool to me. Sounds cool to me.
And in my mind, it was American, but I didn't even know a thing about America. And now I know Canada. Mm-hmm. I kind of, because I've visited the two, and sometimes, you know, when the borders are open, I go back and forth. We are only 6 hours drive from Boston and eight really? Hours from, yeah, it's,
okay.
Or you take a bus here, at night, like 11:30 PM and at 8 AM, you are in Central Park, you know?
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's cheap. So, you know, still a way to visit the US, and it's just like things came naturally since I'm in Canada, because I really do feel good here. And naturally, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to get the passport. And even not that long ago, I was like, but wait, it was your dream as a kid, right?
Yeah.
To have the dual citizenship. And I was like, whoa. So after 30 plus years, I'm going to make that dream come true. But it wasn't easy. It's like when you are an expat, when I arrived here, I had a 1-year visa. Mm. I had to renew that visa. And to renew that visa, I had to be working for the same company that I was working with and guarantee them that I was going to stay there for a year. Because if I was fired or anything, I would have had to find another company that would buy my visa so I could stay. And then I went through another process to be admitted in Quebec. and then go for the Canadian green card, you know, the residency. Yeah. And so, you know, it's a process. So you have to show them that you want to stay.
Yeah.
And so I have really earned my passport. Yes.
Well, that's cool. That's good.
I've earned it.
But I agree with you though. I've never thought of like, it wasn't my, I don't know what my childhood dream was. Not that I can remember anyway. So it definitely wasn't dual citizenship, but you know, like we were mentioning before, earlier this morning, according to DNA test from Ancestry, I have a lot of Scottish, English, mm-hmm. Scottish, Irish, Wales heritage back in the day. I mean, I am a redhead, so it came from somewhere, right? And when me and my wife got married.
Yeah, but that's a myth.
Yeah.
That's a myth, the redhead. That's totally.
What's a myth? Whoa, you talking about my people. Hold up. No. What's a myth?
No, you know the myth, like when I was living in Ireland, it was like, oh, everybody there is redhead.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that. Mm-hmm. No, that's one thing I'm always having to correct people for, because anytime, you're like, hey, are you Irish or do you have, like, no, I'm Scottish. Everyone goes for Irish from the get-go. And I'm like, no, it's not. Not all of us are that, you know. But so me and my wife, we want to do our honeymoon in Scotland. Ooh. And yeah.
Nice. So
whenever we're able to, you know, can't kind of go anywhere right now. Whenever we're able to, hopefully that's the plan. And I would love, especially with doing all these talk with people from all over the world right now, I would love to now definitely, especially since you mentioned it, getting a dual citizenship would be really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Just to have.
It opened doors.
Yeah.
It opens doors.
I would imagine so. And like I said, five additional languages, dual citizenship, and mine would be, if I could, it'd be Scotland. It would be Scotland, hands down, if I could do that. Mm. So I guess that's my adult dream, I guess you can say right now, because I don't remember my childhood dream. But it is my adult dream. Yes, it's a good dream.
I like this dream most of all when I have an American friend who once told me that most Americans just never leave the country. Mm. Because you have everything there. You have the sea, you have the mountains, and it's huge. And she told me that most people don't even have a passport.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. But so soon, I am. Soon. Oh, 100% soon. Yes. I am that guy. I don't have a passport. Definitely soon. And yet, like, we have a lot, but me, for one, I am big into history. I love history. I love learning about old, ancient sites, cultures, all that kind of stuff. We don't have that here. You know, that's mm-hmm. we got to learn about it from other countries, because that's where that kind of stuff is. You know, yeah, we have the Native Americans, but there's not a lot to learn left, because we didn't leave much left. So, you know, there's that. So I would love, that's one thing we don't have. We don't have, you know, Dolomes and Merlin's Forest, caves, none of that stuff, you know, old castles, you know what I'm saying? We don't have that kind of stuff here. We got to go across either ocean, Pacific or Atlantic, to find those type of spots. So for me, that's something that I wish it'd be cool if we had, but we don't have it. So I'm going elsewhere. That mm-hmm. is my plan. But Cecile, I want to go ahead and wind this down. I've had an awesome time so far.
Me too.
Go ahead, because I know do you have a podcast? I think you have something.
No, I don't have a podcast.
Mm-hmm. You have like a mindset motivational thing. Yes. Yes. A little bit.
I am a coach.
Okay.
I am a mindset and manifestation coach. Mm-hmm. And yes, so what I do is I just help joy seekers to bring their dreams to life. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a mission to eradicate regret. That one, it would take my whole life to eradicate regret, but I'm working on that.
Well, I like that, because While I have some stuff in my past that, yeah, I wish I hadn't done, I would never say I regret it because who knows who I would turn into if I hadn't done that, you know? Because I like who I am now. I love That's where cool. I'm at now. Exactly. So as long as I remember that fact, that where I'm at now, I'm okay with, I'm happy. Even though, yeah, I made some decisions that I don't like and I wish I could change. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever could if I had the opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know where I would be right now if that was the case, you know?
Yeah.
So I like that. More people need to be like that. I agree.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it. No, I don't have a podcast, but mm-hmm. yeah, pretty much I try to inspire people through, you know, my Facebook, my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I also have a coaching program. And, you know, what I do in my coaching is working with the universal laws. So mm-hmm. everyone who is familiar with the law of attraction, if you've seen The Secret, you know about it. And
I haven't.
Okay. But
I'm sure someone has who's watching. Yes.
Yes. And the law of attraction, it's basically the principle that thoughts become things. So you'd better focus on what you want to attract in your life. Mm-hmm. So you can actually get it. And okay. also with a bit of neuroscience. So it's mm-hmm. not all woo, you know, yeah. It's really working with what's universal and understanding it, mm-hmm. but also using the power of your brain so you can mm-hmm. achieve more in your life, do more, be more, etc. And basically say no to mediocrity and no mm-hmm. to, you know, regrets, you know, the things you wish you had done but mm-hmm. didn't, and just go for it.
Sounds good. I like that.
That's what I do.
I like that. That's a good thing to do. It's a very responsible, very something a lot of people I'm sure need these days, definitely. But Cecile, I want to thank you again for joining me. I'll link all your stuff so people can find your coaching, all that kind of stuff in the description down below. So check her out, everybody. Cecile, thank you once again. I hope you have yourself a good day.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.